This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
TikTokers are in a tizzy after a bipartisan coalition of representatives banded together to pass a bill that may send the communist app to the digital graveyard. But should we trust that our leaders have pure intentions, or could this just be another notch on their tyranny belt? Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne joins me with her TikTok take. Then, in a week of losers, I have picked my top three, and it all starts right now.
But look, my overall response to the House doing this is that this is a very bad idea. There are 170 million Americans who use TikTok. A lot of people get their news from TikTok. And taking that away from folks, I think, is not only silly, but I think it could also be a violation of free speech.
I want everybody to know TikTok is being banned today, but they're not telling you the real reason why they're banning it. I'm going to tell you. Listen, it's because people are making way too much money on TikTok. There are literally 18 and 19 year olds that are making 20 to 30K a month from posting faceless 1 minute clips on TikTok. And you guys think it's about data collection?
The only thing all 535 members of Congress can agree on is to ban TikTok. That's it. That's the only thing. I heard him talking about raising the minimum wage. Can't agree on that. Heard about talking about trying to keep prescription drug prices low for people. Nope, can't agree on that. I heard him talking about the border. Can't agree. Can't even agree where the border is. But when it comes to banning TikTok, line up, buddies.
Yo, if TikTok gets banned, I'm about to crash out. If TikTok gets banned, I'm crashing out. Oh, my mama, I'm crashing out.
Okay, so I shed not one single tear for TikTok users or influencers over this potential ban. Not one, not even a little one. My eyes are in fact drier than ever. If you live your whole life for an app, you have issues. If all of your friends and connections and ways of making a living exist on TikTok, you have issues and you need a real job. The plight of the TikTok tribe is not my concern, but here's what is. If Congress grants the government the authority to pick, choose, stifle, stipulate, or even ban an app or platform, where does it end? Sure, now it's being billed as a mechanism to limit communist China, and I agree with that premise wholeheartedly, but what's next? Do the government overlords then come after X and Elon? Do they accuse other free speech platforms unfriendly to their narratives as bad actors and force a sale? The government overlords are well aware of the bias, censorship, and outright silencing of information thanks to Google, Meta, and other players, but they've not bent a finger to take them to task. So yeah, I'm a little sus they are now so concerned with social media brainwashing and data mining, but my next guest voted yes on the TikTok divestment ban and slash ban, so I'm curious as to why. Congresswoman from the great state of Texas, Beth Van Dyne, joins me now. Congresswoman, so I'm a little conflicted on this because while I hate TikTok and I hate the fact that it's a communist Chinese platform or linked to communist Chinese entities, I'm a little concerned about how far the ball could get rolling here. You got to tell me why you voted yes.
Well, first I want to say it's great to see you. You used to live in my hometown, and I'm bummed that you left Irving, but I'm sure Nashville is definitely benefiting from you being there. So hope you're doing well. Look, this is not a link to China. This is owned by, this application is owned by China, and it's being controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. You know, the first speaker that you had on one of the TikTok videos said you have 170 million Americans, and that's where they're primarily getting their news. When their news is being primarily gotten and created by Communist China coming into our country, that should be a concern. We are not banning TikTok. What we're saying is that as long as that's where the content is being funneled and that's how the algorithm is being created, is from a communist party that is targeting our youth, that needs to be controlled. We're not saying that it has to be banned. We're simply saying that you can't have communist China owning it and dictating, and that's what we're seeing. All of that information is being accumulated. We had 400 calls into our office yesterday before that vote. That was a concerted effort by TikTok before you could even open up the application, there was a link to call. You had to put in your name, you had to put in your address, and then you had to link to the Congress member's office directly. We had little kids calling threatening suicide. This app has basically taken over their lives. When you've got 170 million people who've downloaded it, 210 million downloads, two out of three of our teens are using it, and they're spending an average of 9 hours a week on this platform. The fact that you could get that many kids to call a Congress member's office all across the country, it wasn't just my office, and threaten suicide should tell you how powerful this app is. And when it's not being controlled by an entity that has anything to do with one raising revenue, because it's not what this is about. This is about a foreign adversary trying to get more control over our youth and their minds. We've already seen what's happened on college campuses.
Right.
It is a dangerous application. That's why I think you saw an overwhelming number of people yesterday vote to make sure that it is sold to a private company as opposed to a communistic dictatorship.
My concern, though, Congresswoman, is that the legislation itself and the wording, is it narrow enough to prevent some authority from deciding that other apps? I mean, for example, if you've got the left saying, oh, Elon took over Twitter and now it's a hate speech platform, now it's a tool for Donald Trump and Republicans, and they levy those accusations with our lopsided justice system as it is, I'm concerned that they're going to be able to use this legislation as a precedent to go after other platforms that aren't owned by foreign adversaries, but are owned or operated or function as an actual form of free speech that the left doesn't like. So is there any safeguards in here to narrow the scope here so that this can't be used by the Democrats and the left to actually stifle free speech?
It looks like it is the bill is very narrow. And what it looks at is four particular foreign nations that want to do our country harm. That was what was going after. It's not going after private enterprises. It's not going after corporate businesses. And specific looking at foreign nations that own this type of an app that is, again, targeting our youth with misinformation. It's political propaganda. And we're also looking at, you know, foreign entities that are controlling our universities. So dollars that are coming in and how this is really changing the minds. And we've seen it. I mean, look at what happened after October 7th. And, when Hamas came and did the worst atrocities to the Jewish people since World War II, we are seeing it right now on our college campuses as a result of this direct influence on our youth and the next generation. So I think it is a narrow enough bill that it is very clearly defined who it is going after. It's not going after private enterprises. However, if there is a concern, I have no problem adding, you know, another bill, introducing another bill that would restrict. But when we get information, secure information that shows how dangerous this application is and the extent, and then we see it firsthand, you know, that kind of a campaign with small children calling in hundreds of kids calling my office alone, and the damage that it can do and how they are being misinformed. It was crazy. So we needed to take action. But again, if this is targeting at all what we've seen, the FBI, the DOJ, and the IRS do to our American citizens, my office will be the first one to introduce a bill to stop it.
Right. Well, that's my concern. And I'm glad that there are some safeguards for that, because any time that the Democrats get on board with hampering China, I have to be a little suspicious. I don't think that up until then or any other actions they've taken would suggest that they care about the threat from communist China. So that worries me a little bit. But, you know, speaking of, you mentioned the propaganda, the anti-Israel, anti-Semitic sentiment, not only on our college campuses, not only in certain parts of this country, but also, unfortunately, on the floor of the Senate, where you have the majority leader Chuck Schumer making a speech about how Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is an obstacle to peace, really kind of going beyond the pale in his discussion, and some would even say maybe meddling in Israeli affairs and Israeli politics with the things that he was saying. How concerned are you about that? And do you think there's going to be any pushback? Because we know that a lot of Jewish Americans tend to vote Democrat, and they're seeing Democrats actively sell them out at every turn. How do you think this is going to turn out? Or do they not care because they're worried about Michigan and Minnesota?
Well, I think they should care. I mean, I look at Chuck Schumer and, you know, he's representing the state of New York, which has some of the highest Jewish populations in our country. I want him to explain not only the propaganda that he is perpetuating on the Senate floor, but also why he is sitting on not one, but two motions that the House has sent over to be able to provide aid to Israel. He's sitting on them, trying to negotiate them to get further aid for Ukraine. You know, he has to listen to his constituents, and they're going to be responsible for holding him accountable. So Schumer right now, and you said it yourself, you know, we have seen a number of them, which is why some of them in the House have been censored for their anti-Israel rhetoric and their hateful rhetoric. But we're seeing it on college campuses. We're seeing it in D.C. and in states all around the country and communities where these protests are coming up. It's not right. It is completely misinformed. But it's being allowed to go on. And you've got, you know, elected officials who are adding gas to the fire.
Yeah, I think they're worried about Michigan and that non-committed vote that was over 100,000. I think they're looking at that and wanting to appease a certain segment of the population. Dangerous. You know, the world is influencing us in a number of ways and impacting us thanks to millions of illegals flooding our borders. You're obviously a border state, so this hits incredibly close to home for you. So a couple different things there. Number one, this might not be a Texas concern, but it's certainly a Florida one. When we talk about Haiti, what's going on there, and if we're going to start to see a mass migration of Haitians coming into our country, what's going on there is terrifying. It's a failed state. How concerned are you about what we're going to be seeing coming from Haiti, and if there's any will to possibly stifle it at all on the congressional level? We know that obviously Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is very concerned, but is Congress at all concerned about what could be coming our way?
And not only is Congress concerned, I know the majority, if not every single Republican, is concerned about what's going on in Congress. And yeah, what's happening in Haiti is horrendous. This is what happens when you don't have laws that are enforced, when you've got the gangs that are taking over. You look at our southern border, we've got the gangs, we've got the Mexican cartels that have taken over our border. This is the next step. So yes, Florida's right to be concerned, but every single community in the country has a right to be concerned. When you're flying in, you've got the Biden administration that's flying in 30,000, you know, new immigrants because we don't have enough that's already being denied entry or that's not being denied entry at our borders. You're going to go ahead and take the extra step of taxpayer expense to fly an additional 30,000 in. And it's not just the immigrants that are coming in from Haiti, but you have to look at the hundreds, if not thousands of them, who have come in that are already on the terrorist watch list. Right. It's not if, but when we're going to see a homegrown terrorist cell pop up, you know, in the next few years, the next few months, simply because we have open borders. This is happening as a direct result of Biden's policies and taking off the policies that were working. The 11 million people have come into our country illegally. And yeah, issues like Haiti are popping up. And instead of this government working, we've tried. The House of Representatives, a Republican-led Congress, we already passed H.R. 2, which is our Secure Border Act of 2023, that had all of the provisions in it that could safely protect our border tomorrow if our laws were enforced. We didn't need another bill, by the way.
Right.
Biden knows that he's got enough of the executive orders on hand when he got into office. It was his executive orders that took those policies away. It was his executive orders that added things like catch and release, that stopped the remaining, that stopped Title 42, that stopped the building of the wall. All of those things he could start doing tomorrow if he actually had the guts to do it. But he's not being pressed by the Democrats to do it. And it's a shame because that is the number one issue, at least from a Texas representative position that I'm hearing all across the country. Mm-hmm. Number one issue is what's happening at our border. And it's crazy that they are trying to use that as some kind of a leverage to get their pet projects across the goal line. But we have an emergency. We've got a disaster that's down there. And you think about, you know, the reasons why they're doing it. Almost 11 million people. That's what, 16, 17 new congressional districts that they're creating. And where are they going? You know, a lot of them are going to blue states to increase the population because they lost congressional districts.
Right.
That's what we're seeing. And that's, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, well, they're going to give them citizenship and then they're going to, you know, be able to vote Democrat. But it's even more of an immediate threat when you think about the population that they're bringing to our country and who's coming.
Right. Who's coming? And then now we've got outbreaks of measles at these migrant shelters. So it's only a matter of time before we've got a major issue with measles, with tuberculosis, God knows what else. So there's a lot of things, and there's just no reason to keep it open. I mean, we want to be the world's piggy bank. We want to be the world's babysitter. And it's enough, because we've got people that are struggling on our streets. I mean, look at the streets of any major blue city, and there's people already struggling. But for some reason, we care about the rest of the world more than our own people. Speaking about not caring about our people, I really want to ask you about January 6th and some of the lies we've been told. We're just now getting more information about, I guess, the severity of the lies that we're told with regards to the National Guard and Trump actually wanting a National Guard presence. And then beyond that, that he actually didn't, in fact, lunge for the steering wheel and try to, you know, take it over and move Secret Service out of the way. You know, those are just a couple of the lies that have been debunked this week. And I'm wondering if we're ever going to get the truth about January 6th and what Congress can do to give us more information on January 6th.
Well, I think what you're seeing right now is we're trying to get down to the bottom of impeachment for Mayorkas. We're trying to get down to the impeachment of Biden, the whole Biden family, and seeing what they've done. Yes, January 6th is the only thing really that Democrats are holding their hat on, because they can't run on any other policies. They can't run on economic policies when you're seeing 18% increase in inflation. They can't run on energy policies when you've seen, you know, our energy sector shut down and some of the most expensive gas prices. They definitely can't run on national security when you see what's happening at our border. They can't run on foreign, you know, on foreign security when you see wars breaking out all around the country. This is a disaster that we've seen one policy after another from this administration. So, yeah, when they're talking about how are they going to scare voters into voting Democrat in November, the only thing that they can hang their hat on is January 6th. And as you just mentioned, it's those are the conspiracy theories when you see it. What happened on January 6th, it was a bad, let's not sugarcoat it. It was a bad day. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very bad moment in our nation's history. And people who entered and stormed our country and hurt our Capitol Police deserve to be punished for it. However, it was not the vast majority of people that did that. And then trying to make it more than it was already bad enough, but trying to make it more than it was and carrying it on years after, it's ridiculous. And it is basically whitewashing what the rest of the country is feeling and seeing right now. They want to focus them on that because they don't want them focused on what they're seeing at the grocery store, what they're seeing at the gas station, what they're seeing in their savings accounts, what they're seeing in increased crime in their communities. It is simply a whitewash because they want to try to scare the American public to make sure that they can get their Democrat voters out in November.
And when they put out all these stories about January 6th, that's what sticks in the minds of people, because the major publications are not running a lead story about the National Guard actually being requested, about Trump not actually reaching for the steering wheel to go take part in the riot. The corrections are always quiet, if not silent. And so those people that are not watching Fox News or not reading any conservative publications, they're completely unaware of the actual truth. And that's part of the whole thing. Congresswoman, I always thank you so much for everything that you do. Obviously, you and I go way back to the good old Irving Las Colinas days, and I always appreciate watching you and seeing you and what you're doing to advocate for the American people. And thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. It's great to see you again. Hope you're doing well.
God bless. All right, folks, Whoopi once again thinks she has the authority to jail Donald Trump. Olivia Rodrigo passes out Plan B at a concert, and Lady Gaga celebrates biological male and Bud Light killer Dylan Mulvaney for International Women's Day, and Dylan Mulvaney releases a music video. You have to see to believe. It's time for my final thoughts and my losers of the week. If you ever feel down on yourself or question your own self-worth and judgment, just think, there are people out there who watch and get their news from the hags of The View. And while the ladies manage to produce horrible take after horrible take with stunning and reliable regularity, this week, Whoopi gifted us a true gem. Whoopi, after all, has Trump derangement syndrome and has forgotten to take her meds.
Entitlements in terms of cutting and in terms of also the theft and the bad management of entitlements, tremendous bad management of entitlements. There's tremendous amounts of things and numbers of things you can do.
Yeah, we could put you in jail. For all of your, for all of of your entitlements. You know, the Social Security is not an entitlement. We paid for that. Every time you get a check, you paid it. This is your money.
Yeah.
You know, so does he have some supporters so obsessed with the idea of beating Democrats that they're not focused on what this man is saying he is planning to do?
Yeah.
Little
side note here. Our money that we are paying in is going to Ukraine and illegal immigrants. But Whoopi, as usual, is not only insufferably annoying, but also dead wrong, because Social Security is, in fact, an entitlement program as outlined by the Social Security Administration. And according to the most recent findings published by the Social Security and Medicare trustees, the Social Security Retirement Fund could run out of money as soon as 2033. So try again, Whoopi. But speaking of Whoopi, a 21-year-old pop singer Olivia Rodrigo apparently wants her fans of all ages to embrace their sexual energy, given the fact she passed out free condoms and Plan B pills at her recent St. Louis concert stop. She's also allocated a portion of her ticket sales to abortion funds across the U.S. And whatever, support your funds and your causes, that's your business. But handing out emergency contraception pills to your audience members, many of whom are young or minor girls, is inappropriate and crass. But on the topic of minor girls, I haven't been keeping track, but I think trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney is coming up on 2 years of so-called girlhood, or as Bud Light counts it, 1 year since the death of its brand. In another completely undeserved celebration of Dylan, Lady Gaga decided it made sense to tout Mulvaney for her International Women's Day commemorative post. After receiving rightful backlash for choosing to honor a biological man over a woman for a day dedicated to women, Gaga took to social media to double down and call out the hatred her post received. Gaga, what a feminist champion. Of all the women she could have picked to honor, she chose a man. So long live the patriarchy could have been her caption. But it gets worse. Just to add insult to injury, Dylan is tripling down on this girlhood farce with a music video so horrifying you have to see it to believe it. And I apologize in advance. Yeah, really giving woman there. I'm gonna let that speak for itself because I literally have no more words, and my eyes, my ears, and my brain, well, they hurt. Those are my losers of the week. Please catch me tomorrow on Outnumbered at noon Eastern, live from New York City. But until then, from Nashville, God bless and take care.